And our last but one great Buddhist of the 20th century is, of course, Lama Govinda. Lama Govinda was a rather mysterious sort of figure. We don't know nearly so much about him as about our four other great Buddhists. We know very little about his early years. He was born in 1898 in Germany into a middle-class family of partly Spanish descent. And his mother died when he was three. He was brought up by his mother's sister. Originally, he wanted to be a mining engineer, but eventually decided that he was more interested in philosophy. It seems he was particularly attracted by Plato and Schopenhauer, especially the latter. During the First World War, he studied comparative religion, but was most sympathetic to Buddhism. Towards the end of the war, he seems to have been called up into the German army, where he spent 2 years. And after the war, he moved to Naples in Italy, then to Capri, and that famous island off the south coast of Italy. And this was a very important period in his life. He studied Pali, he took up art, and he became friends with Earl Brewster, an American Buddhist, who was a great friend of the famous D.H. Lawrence. In Capri, he also met an elderly German lady who became, for the rest of his life, practically his foster mother. And he also started practicing Buddhist meditation. He not only practiced Buddhist meditation, he started making pastoral drawings, color drawings, of meditative states. And in view of his later ideas about the relation between Buddhism and art, this was a quite important development. He also seems to have done some archaeological research in the Mediterranean area. In 1928, he moved to Ceylon. His foster mother went with him. He was then 30 years of age. He stayed in Ceylon for several years and studied Pali and Abhidhamma with the famous German bhikkhu, the founder of the Dodonduwa Hermitage, Jnanatiloka. And it was then that he took the name of Govinda. Formerly, he'd been known as Ernst Lothar Hoffmann. During this period, he visited Burma, and he did research into cases of alleged recollection of previous lives, a subject in which he was always interested. He also became an anagarika. His next move was to India. He attended a Buddhist conference in Darjeeling, and there he came into contact for the first time with Tibetan Buddhism, which thereafter exercised on him a very strong influence. In fact, he settled in Ghum, near Darjeeling, again with his foster mother. This was about 1930. There were not many firm dates, apparently, in the life of Lama Govinda. But about 1930, in Ghum, he met his Tibetan guru. And this was the famous Tomo Geshe Rinpoche. Subsequently, he visited Western Tibet, where he was greatly impressed, not so much by the religious life as by the vastness of the spaces, by the colour, by the light, by the views. During the next few years, he was based partly on Ghum and partly on Shantiniketan, the forest university which had been established by Rabindranath Tagore some 100 miles north of Calcutta. He lectured, he wrote, he travelled. In 1939, of course, the Second World War broke out, and Govinda, in 1942, was interned, as he was of German descent. He was interned in a camp near Dehradun. Conditions, it seems, were very easy, He studied Chinese, he studied the I Ching, and he enjoyed the companionship of a German bhikkhu called Nyanaponika, another disciple of Nyanatiloka. After the war, he returned to Gum and to Shantiniketan, and in 1947 he married Ratti Pettit, who became known as Li Gotami. She was a former student of his at Shantiniketan. She was an artist and a photographer. In 1948, they made their famous journey to Tsaparang in western Tibet, and they made it just in time. It wouldn't have been possible to make it, for anyone to make it, a year or two later, when the Chinese, of course, or by which time the Chinese, were in occupation of the whole of Tibet. They spent several months photographing ruined Buddhist temples and monasteries, and Li copied some ancient frescoes. They worked under conditions of great hardship. Govinda describes the expedition in his Way of the White Clouds, a semi-autobiographical work. The experience of Western Tibet, in fact, of Tibet generally, made a very strong impression on them both. They were impressed both by the magnificent, spectacular scenery and by the ancient Buddhist art that they discovered. In 1952, he announced the formation of the Arya Maitreya Mandala, which was the organization through which he hoped to spread Buddhism, especially Tibetan Buddhism, in the West. Shortly afterwards, he moved to Almora, in the foothills of the Western Himalayas, and he and Li Gotami lived there for the next 25 years or so. And this was probably the most productive period of Govinda's life. It was at that time, there in Almora, he wrote The Foundations of Tibetan Mysticism and also The Way of the White Clouds. I myself visited Lama Govinda and Li Gotami on several occasions in their hermitage at Almora. We'd previously spent time together in Kalimpong, in Gum, and also Diwali, and we naturally discovered that we had quite a lot in common. Lama Govinda and I had quite a similar approach to Buddhism. In the 60s and 70s, the Govindas paid several visits to Europe and America. By that time, there was a growing interest in Buddhism in the West, especially perhaps in America. And they both eventually settled there. Their last years were spent in San Francisco. Quite a change from Tibet. Lama Govinda died there in 1985, aged 87. Li Gotami died in India about 3 years later. 4 days before his death, Lama Govinda wrote his last letter, and he wrote it to me. I'm going to read you two very short extracts. First of all, he says, "I'm a great admirer of Italian art. And like you, I always uphold the importance of European culture. Without knowing the roots of our own culture, how can we absorb the essence of Buddhist culture?" And the other quote, "Now it is up to the next generation to take Buddhism out of the merely academic atmosphere and make it a living experience." A living experience. So these extracts give us a clue to the significance of Lama Govinda's life and work. He always emphasized in all his writings that Buddhism was a living experience, that it should be a living experience. He always emphasized it wasn't just a matter of intellectual understanding or of the observance of rules. He emphasized that Buddhism could be made a living experience by means of meditation. He also emphasized the importance of what he called creative imagination, and he therefore emphasized the importance of art. He himself was both a meditator and an artist, a painter. he did not see art and meditation as completely different activities. He saw, in fact, a sort of parallelism between them. In meditation, he said, we pass from the world of outward expression to the world of inner experience. And in art, we pass from the world of inner experience to the world of outward expression. That is, from the point of view of the artist. Lama Govinda also stressed the importance of colour in spiritual life, colour in the full literal sense. And he stressed the importance of ritual. There's much more that I could say about this, about the relation between meditation and art as seen by Lama Govinda, but time is ticking away.